The Gospel of John, chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear it to the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Minor stories, I'm going to cover them in extremely quick fashion. My focus is always on the doctrine, the teachings. The miracles are there for us to believe or not to believe. When it says, you have set forth the best last, this has become a proverbial, saving the best for last. But is the point that God cares that men should drink wine? And again, taken in moderation, these things are permissible. Anything that rules over your life, the way alcohol rules over some lives, and the way it once ruled over mine, it is sin. Because temperance is what God has called us to in Christ. He has called us to temperance, to self-control. Christ has called us to moderation in eating and drinking and temperament. We need to show moderation. But also, he's called us to zeal. You know, think of the way I was zealous after drinking, and I was zealous after other forms of unrighteousness. And then I think that Christ wants us to transfer that zeal to the things of God. Zealous for righteousness. Zealous for good works. You know, there's no need for temperance in doing good. You don't need to withhold. But that which is permitted, that which resides in those gray areas. Food. It can be sin or not sin. You know, people say there's no gray areas, only black and white. Well, food is a gray area. Food, you can be a glutton. You can be not a glutton. Now, where does the line exist between gluttony and moderation? You know, where does that line exist in black and white? So they can say, oh, 1 milligram more is gluttony and 1 milligram less is moderation. These are things that have to be judged according to the Spirit or according to wisdom, if nothing else. Jesus performed many miracles, and the Gospels use these to attest to his divinity. Because no man could do the works that he did except God was with him. And so then it makes the words he said all the more weighty because the man who did such things said such things. So once we accept of his doing, we must accept also what he said. If we accept that he did miracles, then we have to accept his words as being true. The truth in what his doctrine is. That is very important. Verse 12. After this he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. They were there a little while, and then they go to Jerusalem. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. There were money changers in the temple. They would change the common coin to the sacred coin. The Roman coins have the inscription of Caesar on them, and therefore they are not fit to be brought to the temple of God. So we'll have to have people who change the money, and we'll put them right just outside the temple there, kind of at the beginning, like a little shop. They sold the doves and the other small animals for sacrifice right there outside the temple. Very convenient. It's very logical. It makes a lot of sense. They got bookstores. They've got coffee shops. You look at a ministry, they've got DVDs for sale, they've got CDs for sale, they've got MP3s for sale, everything's for sale. And you wonder, if it's really so important to them, why is it for sale? If they really want the message to get out, why sell it? These are businessmen. They have a business. Verse 15, and when he made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Verse 18, Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 42 years was this temple in building. Wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture, and the word which Jesus had said. Some people who don't understand the scriptures get confused at this point because they think that this incident is identical to the one recorded in Matthew or Luke, which happens just before his crucifixion. But when you take the time factors in the book of John in consideration, you realize that this happened long before that. This was another incident. He did it more than once. Once at the beginning of his ministry and once at the end. The people who do these kind of things, sort of those middlemen types, are never well loved. Filling in those cracks in society that more honorable people wouldn't do. Sure, there's a market for doves at the temple. But who's going to do such a thing? And the Jews were looking for him to exhibit some sort of authority. You know, what authority do you do these things? It's because it's right. They wanted him to show a sign. To show that he had authority from God. And he said, okay, destroy the temple. This temple. Not the temple. This temple. And in 3 days I will raise it up. They thought he meant Nehemiah's temple. But he meant, of course, the temple of his body. Saying, kill me. And I'll rise from the dead in 3 days. Of course, when he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed on the scripture and the word which Jesus said. And what scripture would that be? The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. They believe that this is the characteristic. This is how he ought to be. This is how God is. He prefers that the house be kept pure and holy. He prefers that it not be made a den of merchandise, a den of thieves. Rather, that the zeal for the purity and the righteousness of the administration of God's religion be undefiled with money changers and people selling animals for sacrifice and profiting and profiteering off of the people of God coming to do their duty, their honor to God. The heart of Christ was as the heart of the scripture. They believed him because it rang true. When people who speak the truth speak the truth, and those who know the words of God, who understand the scriptures, or who at least are familiar with them, it will ring true in their ears. They'll hear the message and they'll say, that rings true because I know I read it somewhere. Of course, lies also ring true because people have itching ears. The ears are itching and they want that message that will, yes, that feels better. That's what I wanted to hear. Verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Jesus is doing more miracles, and people are believing in him. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Christ knew men. He knew man. He knew that men were a certain way. They would follow him because of the miracles that they saw. You know, if people saw miracles today performed, they would follow. You know, a lot of these same people who are, they mock Christianity, they mock the faith, they don't believe in God, much less in miracles. But if they were to see real miracles right before their eyes, then they would believe. Then they would believe. But Christ does not honor such belief. He does not commit himself to those who believe based on seeing some miracle. A Messiah. You see that? What miracle he did? He healed somebody. Somebody who had, some obvious affliction, and it's, the skin maybe, like leprosy, when he cleansed the lepers, their flesh falling apart, and then to see it, completely healed. would be a stunning thing for people to see. And people believed in his name because of that. But such faith can be very shallow. People will accept things based on, you know, they'll hear a story, they'll believe Christ. They believe the story. The crucified man, he gave himself for your sins. They believe that. But then when you get down to the doctrine, oh, I don't believe that. And that's what the next chapter is, loaded with doctrine. Now I'm really anxious to get into it. Chapter 2 of John, you see people accepting Christ. In the other Gospels, Jesus spoke in many parables, because that was a product of him not committing himself to them. His disciples, he was committed to. To those who followed him for miracles and for the free food he would sometimes give out, miraculously created, he was non-committal. Oh, those folks. And Christ was merciful and piteous. But he was also very austere. He knew what was in man. God did not give all men to believe sincerely. Therefore, Christ was not sincerely committed to them. Look at these verses. You know, you believe the miracles. All the Christians I know believe the miracles of the Bible. They believe that Jesus does these things. But then the things he says, they don't believe that. When it says he didn't commit themselves because he knew them, just because they believed. You know, people today, they exalt belief like, belief is this be all end all. When you believe, well, but they don't mention that you have to keep believing. Don't stop believing. Keep on believing. We have to go from faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness. That which is born in us, it must come to maturity. That which is conceived in the heart of the Christian must come forth to the birth of a new creation in Christ. What is in man? What is it? Is the Word of God conceived? Is the Word of God planted? Will it grow? Christ knows. He knows what's in man. That's how he could pick his disciples. He knew. Have I not chosen you 12, and one is the devil? He even knew that.